time and time again, I find that the best performers aren't necessarily the people that come with the skill set already intact. It's just the folks that are dedicated to our purpose.
Welcome to the Be Epic Podcast, brought to you by the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas. I'm your host, Brent Williams. Together, we'll explore the dynamic landscape of business and uncover the strategies, insights, and stories that drive business today. Today, I have with me Dave Gugina, and Dave is Executive Vice President of Supply Chain at Walmart. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Brent, I am excited to be here and look forward to the conversation.
We're excited to have you on campus, both for this and interaction with our students. We appreciate your time in that. Maybe before we dive in, because I want us to talk about the supply chain transformation that you are leading along with others at Walmart. But maybe before that, for this audience, tell us a little bit about your background and then also the scope of responsibilities that you have at Walmart.
Absolutely. So I reside in Northwest Arkansas. I've been living here for about 3.5 years. I've been with Walmart for about 6.5 years. Live with my two girls, Colette and Eloise, and my wife, Danielle. And we love this area, yeah. Love spending time outdoors, love walking this campus. It's a beautiful area of the country. So like I said, I've been working for Walmart for 6.5 years. I started with Walmart in the e-commerce space, in a role we called it operational excellence. But essentially, my focus when I first came in was the software and the robotics that we were looking to deploy in our e-commerce and our fulfillment network. Mm-hmm. And then over time, we brought the e-commerce supply chain teams and the legacy or the store side supply chain teams together. And then more recently, we brought the store operation teams and the supply chain teams even closer together from an org structure standpoint and formed a team that we call End-to-End. And today I oversee essentially U.S. supply chain. So I've got a team that focuses on flow, end-to-end flow from point of origin to point of sale. I've got a team that focuses on end-to-end supply chain strategy. And then there's all of the assets that we manage, our ports, our inbound consolidation centers, distribution centers. We have both ambient distribution centers and temperature-controlled or perishable distribution centers, and then fulfillment centers across the country. So over 270 assets, physical assets across the U.S. today. Before Walmart, I started my career in supply chain. When I was in college at Purdue University, I worked for General Motors. And then I spent a couple of years with Anheuser-Busch. My first job there was logistics planning for the St. Louis Brewery. So we didn't have software doing load planning, so it was people like myself. Yeah. So routing and dispatch as well. And then I ran a canning line for Anheuser-Busch. And then, you know, they were acquired by InBev. Yeah. And during that time, it was like 2007, a company, Amazon.com, reached out to me. And I didn't know what Amazon.com was at the time. They were pretty small. They had 10 fulfillment centers in the U.S. So I went onto their website and became a seller just to test it out, to see if I wanted to go work for this company. And it was pretty seamless experience to become a seller. And I thought, they figured something out. So went and worked there for about a decade in a bunch of different roles. Fulfillment roles, inbound, outbound, customer returns, quality control. My last role was leading a virtual team, so a team that everyone worked from home. We were in 11 different countries. And we provided customer service. We resided within operations. And that was an interesting experience as well. So then I had a mentor who had left Amazon and took a short stint as the CEO of Restoration Hardware, and then went to Walmart and recruited me for about something like 6 to 8 months and talked me into jumping over. And at Walmart, I've found that Walmart's purpose and reason for being align really well with, you know, how I live my life and the values that myself and my family have, and this is home for me.
Yeah, well, Home for me as well. I love it here. And, you know, I thought I would ask you this question. You know, you've had lots of different experiences in your background, and in some ways, like, Walmart pulls all of that together, right? You know, with the physical footprint, you know, the e-commerce explosion, you know, in the business that's happened, and everything else in between.
It does. You know, we've been using the term, saying we're a people-led, tech-empowered, omni-channel retailer that exists to serve, mm-hmm. right, and save people money so that they can live a better life. And that couldn't be more more true. I'm not sure the term omni-channel will stand the test of time, but mm-hmm. I do know that the people-led, tech-empowered will. Mm-hmm. That's how we think about it. And, you know, we start with the people on our teams, the associates working in our stores, the communities that we serve, and you know, we all are working together so that we can bring the best experience possible for the customers that we serve, the hundreds of millions of folks across this country and the globe.
I think that's the thing that's hard to get my head around sometimes with Walmart, is just how many people across the globe that you're touching on a daily or hourly basis. Yeah. Well, you know, I know that just in getting to know you, you know, the last couple of years, and then, you know, observing Walmart, you all have been going through quite the transformation in supply chain. That's where I'd really like us to spend the majority of our time. And, like, what's, you know, maybe at a high level, describe that supply chain transformation for us. But then also, like, what precipitated the need and mm-hmm. the, you know, and the urgency in this?
When I think about the need, I think about something that our U.S. CEO, John Furner, says quite a bit, and that is that in retail, loyalty exists in the absence of a better alternative. And retail's constantly changing because our customers' needs and wants are constantly changing. Mr. Sam would say customers vote with their wallets, right? And they're voting, you know, every single day in our business. So the supply chain is critical to the customer value proposition that we ultimately put in front of the folks that we serve. And we have to be able to keep up with the pace at which customers' needs and wants are changing. And they're changing more rapidly mm-hmm. today than I think they have in a long, long time. And I think that's partially due to the fact that technology is changing. It's not on a linear trajectory. It's on an exponential trajectory. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, you know, I say all that to say, in the simplest terms, we looked at our supply chain and wanted to change because we want to serve. We exist to serve the customers. And, you know, outside of our values and our principles, change is the one thing that's constant at Walmart. So if I think about the transformation itself, I guess I'd start with, you know, talking about the evolution of our supply chain. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Sam realized early on in Walmart's storied past that owning the supply chain, controlling the supply chain, was a competitive advantage from the standpoint of providing everyday low costs, which allow you to provide everyday low prices. So he stood up the ambient distribution network. That mm-hmm. was where we started. And I've been in some of the facilities that were the first distribution centers that we kicked off over 40 years ago, and they're running today. Mm. And then, you know, customers really enjoyed those everyday low prices, and they also they liked shopping for general merchandise with Walmart. And they also wanted that experience with consumables, with fresh goods, food. Mm-hmm. So then we stood up a perishable supply chain. And then customers, again, changed and wanted to have goods delivered to their doorstep. And we stood up a fulfillment network. And then more recently, you know, customers, again, are changing. They want this omnified experience of not only being able to shop off a shelf, but having being able to pick up goods from their local neighborhood market and also have goods delivered to their doorstep or even inside their refrigerators or their pantry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're changing yet again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we're not standing up another network.
Mm-hmm.
We're integrating the networks in a more connected and flexible way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that with modern software capabilities as well as robotics or hardware capabilities. And we're rolling those capabilities across the entirety of our supply chain. Software can move at a much faster pace because mm-hmm. it doesn't require you to pour concrete, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving rapidly with, you know, improved transportation management systems, yard management systems, warehouse control systems, warehouse management systems, modernizing those, connecting those. But then we're also bringing in modernized robotics. I think, you know, if you look at our major investments, one common thread is automated storage and retrieval systems,
mm-hmm.
which allow us to densify storage in a particular centroid or a node where an asset is, so that we can improve our cube utilization for those nodes. But then it also removes a lot of the manual redundant work and helps mm-hmm. us become more accurate, as well as increases our throughput capacity and our productivity, mm-hmm. quite frankly.
Yeah, so which really ultimately as the customer, that ultimately serves what I want, right? Which is
exactly.
really what I want is the item that I want or the items that I want when and how I want it. You know, the focus on automation and robotics has probably been some of the most well-documented, you know, of the work that you've done. What's the change management process been like inside Walmart for adopting not only, I guess, the technology, but also the integration of legacy lines of the supply chain? That can't be easy work.
It's not easy work at all, right? But I would say it's incredibly valuable, right? The fact is that we have these nodes that exist across the U.S. that are the right locations, right? And being able to reshape those nodes with the most modern software and hardware without having to put a new dot on the map is incredibly valuable. So it is important for us to manage through the change and be able to come up with solutions that truly change our processes at their root, at their core, and mm-hmm. create something totally new and different from a process standpoint that gives you capabilities that we just flat out couldn't even imagine with the more manual processes that we've mm-hmm. historically utilized. So it is very valuable. What I would say is how we think about it when we're implementing new technology into the supply chain from a change management standpoint, we start with proof of technology. We cast a really broad net mm-hmm. at Walmart, both internally and externally, to try to find the best ideas, capabilities, tools mm-hmm. to solve problems that help us serve customers better. So we cast that broad net. We call it POT, proof of technology. And often that work is done in one of our labs or at one of our partners' labs
mm-hmm.
Or one of their centers. And once we've found that a technology is something that we think can really help us move forward towards delivering outcomes that matter to customers quickly, then we move to proof of concept. And that just basically brings that capability in-house at a really mm-hmm. small scale. And if that proof of concept is successful, so we'll define KPIs, key performance indicators that let us know, hey, this is bearing fruit, then we'll move from a proof of concept to a pilot. Mm-hmm. And pilot is just broader scale. And we use math to tell us, hey, what is the scale that we need to prove this capability out at so that we are confident that it can be rolled out across the network.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move to the rollout phase.
Hmm.
And depending on the capability and how disruptive it is, we have teams that handle rolling these these initiatives out. Some are relatively simple and easy, like a software update, and it's more of you inform the site through one of our communication mechanisms. Others, like we've shared our ambient automation program, mm-hmm. where we're partnered with a company called Symbotic. Mm-hmm. That's pretty disruptive. So we mm-hmm. have teams that focus on training, focus on prepping the site, focus on, you know, ensuring that our associates have the right skills and tools so that when that change occurs on site, we can, that lead time to proficiency is shrunk. Mm-hmm. And the great news is we're getting better and better at handling this kind of change. Mm-hmm. And I see it in the data with how quickly we go mm-hmm. from launch to fully proficient.
Interesting.
But we're learning new things on a daily, weekly basis on how to do it better.
Yeah. We've talked about the customer as a key stakeholder, of course, in the supply chain transformation. Associates are another really key stakeholder in this transformation. And I might ask you about, I had the opportunity along with your team to be in one of the new fulfillment centers. And I got the opportunity to talk with a woman that, like, she was elated, you know, I felt like, to in her role, in the way that it has changed interacting with the technology. But, like, inside the fulfillment centers, that part of the network, how are you equipping associates, and what's their reaction to these change?
So let me back up, and then I'll answer that question more directly. How I think about this is, I think you and I have talked about this before briefly, but you know, I'm excited about the capabilities. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about what it means for our customers. But I would say I'm most excited, or I get my cup gets filled up the most when I spend time with our associates and the impact that this reshaping of our supply chain is going to have and is having on them. What we're doing is we're bringing together robotics, software, and people. Said differently, we're bringing together machines and humans. Mm-hmm. And machines are really good at ingesting large quantities of data and processing them at high speeds. They're also good at executing repetitive tasks with a subset of rules at high speed, with high levels of accuracy and quality. Humans are really great at problem solving. Humans are great at utilizing their creativity, utilizing empathy for one another mm-hmm. and upstream and downstream participants in the supply chain and or ultimately the customer. And our programs, in my opinion, are really focused on allowing machines to do what they do best and allowing humans to do what they do best. Mm. And how does that ultimately show up, and how are our associates responding? You know, I think of a conversation I had with a gentleman named David, shares my name, at our Brooksville, Florida site, which is we're putting in the ambient automation. And we were having this conversation, and he almost got emotional just saying, you know, when I asked him, how's it changed your life? He's like, I'm building a pole barn. And at first I was like, well, that's how it's changed your life. And he went on to explain how, you know, when he was driving 8 to 10 miles a day, lifting hundreds of items, cases every hour, he went home and just didn't have the energy to do during the week things that, you know, that he wanted to do with his friends, with his family. In this case, he wanted to build a pole barn. He walked me through how he had recently completed his pole barn and how the automation allowed him to do that. So what I have found is we go through our change management process, POT, proof of technology, proof of concept, pilot, and those associates that experienced that change originally, they are our champions. Mm-hmm. And if you can get them to interact mm-hmm. with the rest of the population, it's this self-perpetuating model that we don't need to sell this. Mm-hmm. We don't need to convince people that it's the right thing. They do it themselves, and we see it in the data. Mm-hmm. Our jobs, right? we provide good jobs that lead to great careers, and I think we're doing that at another level. Mm-hmm. Right, the ceiling is becoming the floor. And this reshaping of our network and the capabilities is helping us do exactly that. Mm-hmm. So our associates are excited about the change. And then I think you also mentioned, how do we equip them? You know, we have learning teams that mm-hmm. train our associates and give them, put the tools in their toolkit that allow them to take on these new roles. And some of those we've talked about pretty publicly. An example would be like the associate to driver program. Some that we'll talk about more in the near future are associate to technician programs, which are incredible. Hmm. And, you know, time and time again, I find that the best performers aren't necessarily the people that come with the skill set already intact. It's just the folks that are dedicated to our purpose and have been with us for a long, long time. And it's just us investing in them and giving them the new set of capabilities they require to do the jobs of the future. So,
well, and it's that point that I was just thinking about as I was listening to you, thinking like those associates that are committed to the purpose have been with you, and then the investment in them that it's in some ways future proofs them in their career. Yeah. is quite a meaningful thing. You know, you mentioned David building a pole barn. I was actually last night, I was with my family on the front porch, and it was a beautiful night in Northwest Arkansas. My girls were playing
good time of the year,
volleyball.
Right now.
and a car pulls up to our house, and I didn't know who it was. And long story short, a gentleman starts unloading groceries and other items from Walmart. And my wife and I were both sitting there. And after he left, you know, I told her, like, well, I will thank Dave for the fact that you can sit here beside and enjoy this night instead of shopping.
It's not me. There are so many folks involved in that space, even beyond the supply chain team. It's just unbelievable to see how the end-to-end operations, the stores, the supply chain, our delivery partners, the Spark drivers are all coming together to create these pretty incredible experiences.
You know, so fundamentally, right, you had heard a story of how you've impacted one of your associates' life. Here's a, you know, at least a firsthand customer story. That's quite purposeful. So how is that purpose helping you attract talent? I guess it's that purpose that's helping you attract the talent from, you know, folks in fulfillment centers, but also, you know, the engineers and the expertise that you're bringing across the team. It just seems like as I interact with more and more of your teams, I'm blown away with their capabilities.
Yeah, great question. I would say, I often answer things in a roundabout way, so I'll get there. But where I'm going to start is, I think for a long time in supply chain and just industry in general, even manufacturing, you know, I think it started probably in the industrial age. We had this model of there's leaders and there's followers and there's top-down directive. I think we're exiting that age. And in most cases, at least with Walmart, we've already moved far beyond that. And we're moving into a world where there are leaders of leaders, where we are focused on empowering individuals. And I think we do that through communicating to the leaders within our organization and even folks that are interested in potentially joining us the purpose of why we exist, right? And companies that have strong purpose, I think, have an incredible competitive advantage in today's day and age with this model. People don't just go to do a job, get directive from the top down, and, you know, connect two widgets together. They want to understand why they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And at Walmart, we're very, very clear on we exist as a company to serve. Our purpose is to save people money so that they can live a better life. And that's not just in the U.S., that's across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
We're dedicated to the communities in which we reside. We want to make those communities better places. So I couldn't ask for a better tool to help us bring talent into the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's bringing it up through the organization from someone who started loading trucks for us,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's attracting undergraduates, graduate students, subject matter experts in different fields. So all that we do kind of starts there.
Mm-hmm.
And then how we conduct work to deliver on that purpose, like I mentioned earlier, is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're introducing new capabilities that require us to get expertise in areas that are new and different for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that strong purpose allows us to do that more mm-hmm. seamlessly.
You know, Dave, another stakeholder in the transformation, I assume, is your partners. You know, you mentioned there's been, you know, that you guys have been public about your partnership with Symbiotics mm-hmm. as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Has this transformation required you, Walmart, to work differently with those partners in some ways?
What I would say is we, you know, and different companies take different approaches. A lot of companies will just do the vast majority of their development in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, we're builders.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you look at our tech organization, our software engineering organization, it's incredible what they're building. We're building capabilities in-house that are helping us do things in new and different ways that are pretty unbelievable. But at the same time, we don't sit back and think that we have all the answers or all the best ideas. So I mentioned earlier that we cast a broad net.
Yeah.
And we partner, like here locally, we partner with Plug and Play.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I have been at events
we
together.
Have, yeah.
At Plug and Play. You know, and they're bringing in companies in different stages, early stages of development, and introducing them to folks like ourselves and others within the area. You know, and I love having the opportunity to work with these different organizations and different phases of their development and maturity, because the ideas that are coming about are just unbelievable. So, like I said, we're not so proud to think that we're the only ones with all the great ideas. We do have incredible amounts of valuable data that can help us develop solutions with others that deliver great results for retail and
mm-hmm.
great results for Walmart customers.
Mm-hmm.
And then specifically on, have we had to partner with folks in different ways? I guess what I would say is the scale of the change
mm-hmm.
with some of our key partners is so significant that absolutely we've had to be, there's been a level of depth in the partnership that is different
uh-huh.
than what I've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to deploy a capability, whether it's a combination of software and hardware or one or the other, in a handful of sites, and then across the entire network.
Yeah.
And the closer that partnership is, whether it's managing a ramp or the procurement of raw materials, the closer that partnership is, the more efficient you're going to be in the delivery of the ultimate solution.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've really had to lean into those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped us move much, much quicker.
Yeah, I can only imagine the partnership piece of that is critical just because of the scale. It's no one else, you know, has the scale. that is going to be required to deploy technology and hardware. Well, you know, I might finish up with a couple of questions. Just as you're looking out there, maybe zooming out a little bit, just as you're continuing to lead, of course, the supply chain organization at Walmart and the continued transformation, just what excites you, you know, about the future in supply chain? And you know, you'll be with a group of our students in just a few minutes. What advice do you have, you know, for Walton College students, as an example, that are thinking about careers not only in supply chain, but more broadly, and many of them will be graduating in just a few weeks?
I think what excites me, we're fortunate to be, you know, alive in this period of time, specifically because of the advancements in technology. And I mentioned this briefly earlier, but technology does not follow in an intuitive, like, linear view. It's exponential. Mm-hmm. So the progress in the 21st century isn't going to be 100 years of progress if you use the rate of change that, you know, of the last 100 years. It's going to be the equivalent of 20,000 years or whatever that would equate to. But it'll be significant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think about supply chain, we want to know what we own, where it is, in what quantity, in what condition, all in near real time. And folks have reached for that for a long time. And it's just unbelievable to see the capabilities that we have today that we're able to deploy that are allowing us to achieve that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcomes from that are, you know, folks will talk about speed a lot, and speed's important, but think about, like, the importance of being time definite within a supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
And all that you can do to optimize, if you know what you own, in what quantity, where it is, all in near real time, and mm-hmm. when it's going to be, where it is today and when it'll be to the next point. All the waste you can extract. It's an exciting time. And then when I think about advice that I would give to new graduates, so a couple things come to mind. First, you know, we were talking, you all have a supply chain course for freshmen and sophomores, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's not incredibly common to do that mm-hmm. early in someone's career. I think that's incredible. I think what I found when I was in school, and what I think students will find, is that they'll find that they're good at certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're taking a course in supply chain and you're doing, you know, last mile delivery, catchment, and batching design with some kind of, you're building a model based on a subset of data that was given to you from your professor. You may find that you enjoy that. You may find that you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say as you exit school and move into the workforce, you know, find something you're good at and become exceptional at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many folks think, oh, I need experience in a bunch of different areas. That'll come.
Mm-hmm.
But first, whatever you start doing, if it's in supply chain, just find something you were good at mm-hmm. and become incredible at it and become a subject matter expert. And then others will come to you to learn. And guess what happens when they do that? They're going to teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to pull you into new and different experiences within your career.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be one piece of advice. And then my second would be, I think in today's day and age, the ability to be present and listen to someone else is so valuable.
Mm.
And if you give someone your full attention, it is an expression of respect, empathy, care, and those individuals will thank you for that
mm-hmm.
and will treat you differently because you treated them that way.
Mm.
And that'll help you build your network and build relationships and in that leader of leaders model.
Mm.
It'll help you get leaders to follow you and help you move towards whatever outcomes you're trying to drive or whatever goals you're trying to achieve. And then the last advice is you probably want to come work at Walmart and supply chain if you're graduating. So give us a call.
All right. I love it. Seriously, what great advice. Work hard, become excellent at something, and be a little patient. You know, that's what I talk to our graduates about. Be a little patient, because you're exactly right. Excellence, people want to be around people that operate and work with excellence, and they want them on their team. So those opportunities will come. But also want to, the advice of be present and listen, in a world that's pretty noisy, right? And it seems like it's increasingly noisy, is quite simple, but quite powerful. So, Dave, thank you for being here today. Thanks for spending some time with me and talking about the supply chain transformation. And thanks for spending time and investing in our students. Some of the students that you're spending time with today will hopefully be leaders of Walmart supply chain in the future.
So. Thank you, Brent. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Walton College, thank you for joining us for this captivating conversation. To stay connected and never miss an episode, simply search for Be Epic on your preferred podcast service.